Working Class on DeerCast. We have a kind of a full house here. Well, it's a full house for a DeerCast podcast. We have Mr. Dominic Sheets.
What's going on, guys?
Where are you from?
Virginia.
All the way from Virginia to the Midwest. The East to the Midwest.
Yes, sir.
And then we have, you've been on the podcast a lot. First time in this studio, or ever.
First time in any studio. Yeah, all of mine have been over the phone.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I was thinking you were at the nope. one at my house.
Nope.
What the hell is your name?
Rachel Bushak.
From where?
Pennsylvania.
And then across the table?
Andrew Bushak, also from Pennsylvania.
You go by Andy.
I do.
I know, that sounded weird to me.
All right, we'll go by Andy.
So I'm surrounded by foreigners here in the Midwest.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
So
we're taking you.
Yeah, this is our first podcast of, I guess, the coming weeks, or if in podcast land, the next 3 weeks of like hunting camp at the studio podcast. So you guys are staying here hunting a permission piece and some public that you guys have a fair distance drive from the studio, but hey, it's free and it's hunting camp.
That's right.
And then you were on your way out to hunt Iowa.
Yeah.
And same kind of thing.
Yep.
On the way out, but stop and stay and whatever. So DeerCast is, I don't know, right now it's warm weather this week coming in. I think by the time this podcast launches, I think weather's going to be changing. I've been on, I live on DeerCast. And for people who are not utilizing it, if you're just listening to this on regular WCB, or if you're listening on DeerCast, you know how good DeerCast is. But you go to the maps feature now, hit the plus icon, the wind check button is like the best thing ever. I live by it. I look at the weather.
He just showed me it the other day. I didn't even realize that feature.
Yeah, like, no, what are you doing? I'm like, you've never done this before?
You didn't know about the update?
No, it's awesome.
It's killer.
She never knew how to use it.
No, I used the maps. I didn't know about the wind checker.
Oh, yeah. So you can look at it in like the DeerCast daily, you know, yeah. And you can see, like, you can scroll and see what the wind's going to do with your, you know, the indicator. But in
putting it over where you're hunting is pretty cool. See, like, your scent cone.
Yeah. And it changes per wind speed. Mm-hmm. So if it's a strong wind, it's more streamlined, you know.
You want to know what your wind's going to do when you're walking in the whole entire time? You can just take your path and it'll show you that little trail of how you're getting.
That's
big. We were on public this morning because the wind wasn't good for our permission piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're sitting there on DeerCast and he's like showing me the scent cone thing. And he's like, I think this afternoon we can get away with our permission piece because the public was just packed today.
Yeah.
So we went back to permission piece and I had deer all around me and I mean the wind worked. So yeah.
It's an underutilized and it's just not talked about enough tool on DeerCast. There's a lot of other features and tools you can use in the map stuff, but that wind feature is insane. I mean, honestly, I live by it now. You know, those other apps give you the cone and it's generic, you know, it's just like a pie slice and it kind of changes. But this, you can actually kind of visualize it better. Or if you're running what we call a whiskey wind, that might be pushing it. You get a better understanding without being in there and being intrusive on what's going on. Now, topography changes that on, you know, they can't calculate that, but maybe one day they will. I don't know. I'm sure they could. So Dominic, you were building Iowa points?
Yeah, so
just getting right into it.
I've wanted to hunt Iowa obviously for a long time and it took 4 years of points and then this is my fifth year applying and finally got drawn.
He's at a loss for words. No, that's cool. So you were building up. Did you already have a spot you were going to go to when you were building points?
Yeah. So sounds weird. I met this guy online.
Oh, man. That's how it starts. Not right. Continue.
No, but he was just super nice, like giving me advice and stuff. This is pretty early on in my bow hunting career. And so he eventually told me, look, if you ever build up the points, come hunt Iowa. And I got places for you to hunt.
That's cool.
And so ever since then, I started buying points, and he's been sending me trail camera pictures and all kinds of stuff. And he just every year telling me, look, I got spots for you. Just come hunt. And so finally this year, I had 4 points and put in for the zone I wanted. And and got drawn. So
that's awesome.
No, and he was like, "All right, come on down."
And that just you. That. So, how'd you meet this guy online? Like a forum or something?
It was a Facebook like a hunting group.
Oh, cool.
On there and
see, there is good on the internet, man.
Yeah, not absolutely. And I'm not gonna lie, I was a little bit nervous.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course.
Having never coming met out the guy here in person. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. That makes
so
sense.
So I made sure that Austin was like a mutual friend, and he.
Oh, Austin Chandler was.
Yeah. Okay. And so, I mean, he doesn't. I don't know how well he knows the guy, but.
Yeah, the guy is not a serial killer after all, we found out. So he must be a really good dude.
He is. He's super nice, super good dude. But I made sure Austin knew where I was staying and everything. In case I turned up disappearing or something.
Yeah, turned up missing? How's that happen? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But no, guy was just nicest guy ever. And
that's awesome, man.
Randomly volunteered his land.
For, that's a big deal. So. That says a lot.
Huge deal. Absolutely.
So how many days did you hunt? Because you came out here, you stayed just kind of like carry you over a day. You stayed at the studio.
Right.
And then you're back at the studio already, so something happened.
So I, let's see, today's Monday.
Yeah, it is Monday. Yeah.
So I left here.
You were here Saturday.
I was here Saturday night. Yeah. Left here Sunday morning. Went over there, hunted Sunday night. Sunday morning, there was a giant nine-pointer in there that I would have loved to shoot, but it just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
But I went back there this morning. The wind shifted, but I just kind of moved over a little bit. And DeerCast was telling me that the first three or four hours was going to be the best hunting of the day. And so I got in there, and my wind was going to blow straight out through the corner into this big cut cornfield.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided that was where I wanted to be, because this nine was just
a big one.
Yeah,
like how big? Well, we don't want to blow this guy's spot up, not that we know him, but it's big.
Yeah,
bigger than your Virginia deer.
But substantial.
It's what you want when you're going to go to Iowa.
Exactly.
And build
it's,
points.
That's what
yeah.
you dream about.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I saw this video and the fact that he was there yesterday morning, and I was like, I'm going to hunt this spot. And
I like that a lot.
As much as
that's
I
what
can.
Dominic said.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I know. I sent you the video of it, and
yeah,
I think, conservative guesses were, 160s.
It's a big nine pointer.
Yes.
So, yeah, my days are mixed up so bad. I was thinking that you shot your deer yesterday for some reason.
No, this morning.
Yeah, it's even cooler.
Wow.
Not often you get to kill a buck and then we podcast it. Like, we didn't have that type of turnaround time for our deer.
Yeah, right.
So it worked out good. Well, awesome. So tell us the story. How did it all break down this morning?
Well,
starting at looking at DeerCast, the best hunting hours of the day were in the morning.
Yep. So this week is not great as far as hunting goes, but
yeah, warm weather, strange winds,
right. But I already took the time off and I'm here, so
gotta go
be hunting anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like, given the wind direction, I could get away with sitting there and my wind would go out over this cornfield. I figured they wouldn't be going out there until later at night.
Mm-hmm.
So went out there, got set up, and had two little bucks straight out in front of me about 80 yards sparring, and the smaller one got run off, and so I got to sit there and get like a decent show. That mm-hmm. was about 15 minutes after first light, and then doe came through and heard something behind me, turned around, and there was a little spike rubbing on a tree about 20 yards away.
Like a Virginia buck?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Virginia bucks out there rubbing.
11 pointer.
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah, 11 pointer, yeah.
We call those West Virginia 11 pointers.
Oh.
Okay. Noted.
So I was seeing deer, mm-hmm. and it was still within that time frame that DeerCast said was going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just decided I was going to sit there. I was planning on staying till like 11 or so. I just figured I'm out here.
Anyway, yeah, might as well sit.
Right.
Even if it was pretty warm today. So even if it gets warm, you're gonna hunt. Same thing with you guys. Mm-hmm. You gotta go hunting.
Yeah, but it was chilly too this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured there's always a chance something could move through.
Yeah.
Especially this time of year.
And it rained
last night.
It rained a fair amount last night, yeah. So that's playing into the favor. So
right. But so there about I don't know, 8:30 or so. I was sitting there glassing over to I guess my west.
Mm-hmm.
I heard something off in front of me and turned and looked and could see a tree shaking, pulled my binos up and saw antlers. And so I still couldn't tell exactly what he was.
Yeah.
It was real thick over there.
Before you continue on, did every time you saw a deer, did you just expect it to be a 150 like everybody does from out of the Midwest?
Of course.
Is that how you really felt? Like, oh, no. I'm going to see so many 150s? They're crawling with 150s out here. Dude, spin around and just sling an arrow and it hits a 150 in the ham.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I had a little bit more realistic expectations. I was coming in here hoping I figured if I get a 140 to 150, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
That's what I was going for. So I think this one that I ended up shooting falls right around there.
Yeah.
But anyway, I saw him shaking that tree and
was he rubbing?
He was hitting a scrape over there. It was a smaller tree, and he had his antlers all up in the branches, and tree was going crazy. And again, couldn't tell exactly what he was at the time, so I was sitting there glassing him, and he turned and started walking toward me, and still I was kind of on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And
ooh, getting cocky out here. I'm in Iowa.
Well, there's all kinds of branches in the way.
You took a video of it?
I'm leaning out the side to look past this tree.
And yeah, yeah.
So finally he got to about, I don't know, 40 yards, and I just decided that I would get drawn, and when he stepped out, I'd make a decision. He came walking
by. Oh, man, you bend the limbs back. You're already in.
Hard to say no.
Dude, if I'm fooling around, I draw back. I'm just like, you know what?
Well, he was walking straight toward me,
yeah.
And I had zero cover up there. So the only thing I had was this tree that was separating me and him.
So you had to draw way early just in case.
Draw, and then that way, if he was going to be a shooter, then I didn't have to worry about drawing and spooking him off. So
no, it makes perfect sense. It's just funny. I got to give you a little bit of crap, you know?
Absolutely. So he came into 18 yards and I looked at him and I would there was no.
It's on video. We can play the video on the DeerCast version. I'll get that video from you.
Yep. I'll make sure to get that to you.
Yeah, we're doing that.
He came into about 18 yards and there was no way I wasn't going to shoot him. So
yeah,
my wind was again going out toward the corner of that cornfield and. He stopped. I knew that he was going to hit it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So he stopped, and I was on him, and made a good shot.
Yeah, you pinned with him. In the video, it goes like 7.5 yards.
Yeah, he does a small loop. He runs straight away from me and kind of curls back around,
mm-hmm.
comes in, and he starts walking toward me. He's looking over toward where he was standing when I shot him.
Yeah.
Tail starts flickering a little bit. He starts to get a little woozy.
Mm-hmm. How stoked were you?
Oh, my gosh. I was losing it.
Were you?
It was everything I could do. I was just shaking like crazy. And
yeah. That's cool, man, to save up points and come out to Iowa. How far a drive?
GPS will tell you 13 hours and 20 minutes.
Did you do it in 9?
No, like... just under 12.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, cutting off some time there.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Congratulations. No,
thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's good guess. So you get to go back home. You went to Old Barn.
Yep. Dropped everything off in Old Barn. Just can't wait to see it. I wanted to be able to bring the rack and show you guys, but...
Yeah, that's all right.
Unfortunately, wasn't meant to be.
That's all right. Is it your biggest buck?
Mm-hmm.
Even better.
Yeah, definitely, definitely highest scoring buck.
I mean, you're a killer, man. You kill some stuff out east. Like, how many deer you shoot a year usually? It's like every time I turn around online, I'm like, oh, you shot another one.
I don't know, anywhere from 6 to I think the most is 15.
You shot 15 deer in a season?
Yeah.
Does just a bunch of does?
I think that year was 3 bucks and the rest were does.
How's it work? How many can you shoot? Like, what's the, like,
unlimited?
Even bucks?
No. You get 3 bucks in Virginia per season.
Three? Is that the most? More? How many can you shoot in PA?
One.
Just one. Mm-hmm. That's got to be the highest buck allowance.
I don't know.
What, that I know of.
What would Texas be?
Texas is like its own country.
each property, they get to...
Don't they get like...
They get to have like a biologist come in and basically set their...
Issue their tags for their ranch or whatever.
And so each ranch or...
So I'm trying to think...
gets their own...
Does it... And maybe I'm wrong here.
Would be the one to talk to about that. Hmm.
So if you're a landowner in Illinois, so that changes things, like a landowner tag. So you guys own land in Pennsylvania.
We get no extra tag.
No, you don't.
Just doe tags if
we can get DMAP tags for does is all.
What are they called?
DMAP.
DMAP. So I think Illinois, you get a landowner tag, but it's not an extra deer. I don't know. Is Iowa? I'll have to see. Somebody from Iowa, tell me.
I think Iowa has an extra tag for landowners.
Yeah, somebody break that down, how it works. Chandler owns an Iowa farm now, and I don't...
But he's not a resident.
But he can't get any of those until he's a resident.
Yeah, but I feel like if you own... But then there's so much fish... There's so much gray area, and I think it's been abused, so that's probably why they cracked down on it. But there's people... You always hear rumors of people like getting a P.O. box, and then to get their Iowa tag every year. Because we're... You know, Iowa's right there, right across Mississippi, for where we're Western Illinois, so... You'd hear guys getting like a P.O. box, guys getting like a cheap apartment and all that. Mm-hmm. And like.
Just for residency.
Yeah. A whole bunch of like, you know, trying to cut corners on the system. And so I don't know. I don't know how it works. I don't think Chandler gets anything special for being a landowner.
I don't think he gets anything until he's a resident.
Yeah, I think that's right. But I don't know. Certain states have different, and I don't know what it is in PA. In Illinois, I believe it's 40 acres minimum to be considered a landowner.
Okay.
What do you guys have like?
We have nothing like
that. No, we get nothing for being a landowner, but if we want extra doe tags, we can apply for the DMAP program. So you can get one doe tag per 5 tillable or one doe tag per 50 not tillable, you know, just...
Oh, just timber or
whatever. Yeah.
Do you guys have like major doe problems like in Virginia?
So...
Yeah, in pockets.
Yeah, like late season. I mean, granted, we had some standing beans late season. There was one night we had like literally five acres of standing beans. We had 97 deer in our field.
Jeez.
Only 12 were bucks.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's late, so some drop, but now, still that's...
Nobody else is, like in Pennsylvania, probably it's going to... See, I mean, that was a rare circumstance.
Get Dominic over there. He'll
In like most of Pennsylvania.
Stay
is like,
away.
Most of Pennsylvania is like more big timber and mountainous. We're in more of like the ag area. We're ag almost era. In Ohio, really.
Mm,
right. So
you guys are in the golden triangle of Pennsylvania. So.
Correct.
So if there is one.
So nice. do the big timber people in PA just hate that side of the state because your hunting is easy?
Well, yeah.
Probably.
The only reason
why you got that Midwest hunting.
Yeah. That's right. Anyone can kill a 150.
Yep.
It's like, oh, this conversation is just beat to death. But yeah, Virginia used to have a dope problem until Dominic just woke up and cleaned them out.
Single-handedly.
So do you donate some of that meat?
Yeah, quite a bit of it.
Yeah, you'd have to, but that's cool. I mean, every time I turn around, it's like it's firing them off, man, which is cool. It's great practice.
It's fun. One of the reasons, though, is that the counties I hunt are, they basically force you to shoot does or antlerless deer in order to be able to use your second or third buck tag in that county.
So deer density just must be insane then.
It is. It is. I don't want to speak or misspeak.
Yeah, I don't expect you to give me like biology numbers here, but.
I think the last number I heard was from a survey they did like 4 or 5 years ago, and they said that the average carrying capacity is like 19 deer per square mile, and the area that I'm hunting was like 70 something.
Wow.
Per square mile.
I wonder what the average is in Illinois and Iowa. I'm sure we could look it up. I need like a Jamie, like Joe Rogan.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, look that up. So I don't have to do anything. that's interesting. Because I know It's like deer density is really high in certain areas in Iowa where some of my buddies hunt. But okay. those are the same areas. It seems like every 5 years you just get hit so hard with like EHD. And Illinois in certain spots gets hits, but it's very pockety. And I feel like we have a good deer density in the areas I hunt, but I never have sat on a field and been like, there's 100 deer in that field. That I've never seen that, ever.
No, me neither.
So,
but I don't, again, it's not ag fields or anything or food plots really. It's all just big timber, so.
For sure. Yeah, it's definitely different terrain. So, I mean, the big timber maybe holds more. Because once our crop's out, really not that much cover, if you think about it.
No, around here there really isn't.
No. So, just interesting. Do you guys like hunting? Now that you know Dominic for sure, do you like, you only hunted it for like two sits, but.
7 hours.
7 hours. Do you like Midwest hunting more, or do you like your home state like vibe?
My buddy was asking me, did I shoot that deer just so I could get home and keep hunting at home?
You're right over there, pal. Okay. Ray's just got to jump across the table and save you.
But that was an easy answer. I did not want to leave here.
Yeah. So does the, to you guys, and I don't know, I'm sure that you're part of PA kind of feels this way. Does the Midwest feel of, and I'm not talking deer, but just the feel of being in the Midwest bring a different vibe to the hunt? Like when you go out west to hunt elk or mule deer, you're like, I'm in the elk woods. Yep. It's got the vibe to it, you know, like an aura.
I think we definitely feel that way. When we came out for the shoot in June, we put a cell cam out. So we kind of have a sense for, you know, there's some pretty big bucks in the area that we're pretty excited about. But at the same time, we ran one camera, you know. So it's kind of, it's also.
You're missing a lot.
It's just the fact that, not necessarily that it's the Midwest, but just that it's a new property to hunt that we haven't quite figured out, and we don't know what's there. Like, you just don't know what's going to step out.
It's exciting a little bit, yeah.
Versus, like, at home, we pretty much know, you know, we scout year-round. Like, mm-hmm. we pretty much know what's around the area.
Yeah, yeah, fair. What was your vibe?
For me, as soon as I get close to here, I just feel like I'm in the land of giants.
Yeah, for sure. When, I mean, we are the spot for whitetails, right?
I don't know. I've seen a lot of spikes. Actually,
I did see a lot.
I was really tempted.
Let's talk about this a little bit because I feel like, so Rachel, the first time we podcasted with you, it was almost like you took the state of Pennsylvania and had half of them on that were like, Rachel. The other one were like, burn her. She's a witch. Because you were very honest about your experiences of hunting good and bad, whichever state's got them. And it's just kind of like, no, we have a lot of listeners in Michigan. Shout out to Michigan. But when we've had guests like Chris Smith, our good buddy, he's from Michigan. He sells land in Michigan, which was probably not a great ploy for him when he did the podcast because he didn't have much positive to say about deer quality in Michigan. But it was the same. There was like this divided.
The fallout from that one was hilarious.
What's that?
The fallout from that one was hilarious.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Oh, well, it's like the same situation. It's like they're Chris, you're preaching. Yeah, we love you. And then everyone's like, he's a witch. Burn his legs, you know? So, or whatever they do to witches. But so there's like similar vibe. But then I feel like those people that are like, I guess, negative about their state, or the people that are so proud about their state, if they're in a lesser big buck state, they're so quick to be so negative about it when it benefits their excuse for not killing the deer they wanted to kill. But then they're mad at somebody in Iowa that shoots a 150 and they're like, you only shoot that because you went to Iowa. And it's like, and that goes back to my sayings, like, if you want to kill a mule deer, you're not going to do it in Illinois.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got to go somewhere else. It's, you know, if you live in Michigan, and there's big bucks in Michigan, we know that. There's big bucks in every state. Mm-hmm. There is.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
But percentage-wise, if you're mad at somebody else on the internet for going to Iowa and building the points and putting in the time and the drive and the money and meeting strange men on the internet, then you have to do things like that to do that. You know what I mean? So it's like, I wouldn't have killed an elk if I wouldn't have went back and figured out a way to make it happen.
Correct.
So everyone just needs, I think, to just draw back a little bit and be like, man, I live in Virginia. This is the quality deer I have. Instead of being mad about it for Dominic went to Iowa. Screw him. Oh, maybe I could go to Iowa, but you know, you could have came here and not seen a deer over 130.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I know a lot of people in Illinois that grew up in Illinois around me in the same neighborhood of hunting ground that I hunt that have not killed a deer over 120, over 130. Mm-hmm. A lot of them. I'd say the majority haven't.
Wow.
Just to be honest.
Yeah.
It's not that they're a bad hunter. Maybe they're missing something, but it's not like everyone makes it out to be, like you see on you know, Drew Outdoor. They bust their ass. They got it figured out.
Yeah.
Right. Bill Winky busts his ass. He's got it figured out. A lot of work. Years.
They probably don't have DeerCast.
Yeah. Same guys on the internet, Matt again, about I'm not going to have an app tell me when to go hunt.
Yeah. Come on.
I don't know. Rachel, I feel like you got stuff to say.
No. Well, I know I was hard on Pennsylvania a little bit, but I do think we have
a little bit.
I think we have, we actually have, I think, good genetics and good habitat, especially where we're at. We've got like a mixture of ag and timber, swamps, like just pretty diverse. There's big deer there. Like you said, there's not a lot of them. Our problem is, I think, age class because we have so many hunters.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. We just have a really high density of hunters. The antler restriction, I thought, really helped us. They that went in like 20 years ago.
Is it a 4 point per side or something?
So, yeah. They called the 3-up rule. So basically, it doesn't matter if it has a G1. It has to have a G2 and a G3. Hmm. So it could be a 6 point with no browse.
What about broken points?
Has to be an inch. Small. Yeah. Okay. So it could be a half rack, you know, with, you really could be a, 3 point half rack with no G1. That's legal. It's, and it's different. It's not, that's not the same for the whole state. There are areas in the state where it only has to be 2 up. Ours has to be 3 up in our area. So,
does Virginia have any antler restrictions?
No, no, we don't. I wish we did.
But. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Illinois should have antler restrictions. I don't believe that really, but I don't think I believe it.
But
sometimes I say things I don't know what I mean.
That said, I think we talked about this a little bit. My standard for what I want to shoot doesn't really change all that much coming from PA to Illinois. I have a lot more time in PA, and that's why you know. In PA, I'm.
What's your standard in PA?
125.
And I know inches don't matter, but it's a great way for reference. Yeah, so for anyone that's getting ready to comment something negative,
no,
maybe don't.
We have bucks that score way less than that I would shoot that are big, mature bucks that need killed.
They're mature. But they're mature, yeah.
In general, or 120, 125 MPA.
Yeah.
And there, I've gone a couple years now not shooting one because of that. But, I mean, it, at the end of the day, if it doesn't get my heart racing, I'm not going to shoot it just to shoot it, you know? And then I come out here and I would say I'm not at the point where with a bow, I'm going to pass a 130. I don't think, you know, I just, so, I mean, what, 5-10 inches, my standards changed going from PA to Illinois.
That's fair.
You know,
I think that's a realistic expectation. What about you, Andy? What are you thinking?
About the same, like in Pennsylvania, I'd like to be above 130, but like you said, if you get the right deer, you're gonna shoot it if he's old, or I like the ugly, not gonna look the same as every other deer, one goofy side. I like shooting those ones, but
yeah, you need character,
yeah, correct. When we come out here, I'd like to say in my head, I want to shoot one above 140, but if that really great 130-inch 8-point comes up, oh boy, I've shot a lot of them, and I like it. So I'm going to shoot them again. You know, I can't help it. They're the kind of deer that just seems to want to come up in front of me and give me the perfect shot, and I'm willing to make it for them. So,
I was really tempted to shoot.
I'm in the same boat as you on that.
Yeah.
I was really tempted to shoot the spike because we can't shoot spikes in PA, and I'm like, Shad would be so proud.
Shout to Shad, the spike lover. Oh, we went to Africa and just shot massive spikes, and Shad is just loving it. But no, that I think you guys are on track, right? You know, I don't think it's unrealistic. I think it's a good goal. You guys are all experienced deer killers. You know, it's people don't like that word apparently. I've heard, but you're killing deer, so and you're experienced at it. So yeah, it's good. And you know, it's fair. Like, so we got some podcasts coming up. Devin from some Salt Lake's coming back for another Midwestern white tail. He came last year.
Killed that one.
Killed. Yeah, he killed. He's a ball of energy. 125. Really good buck. First white tail with a bow.
Fantastic first deer.
Oh, dude, it's a great looking buck too. Just sits real pretty and everything.
Just hearing him talk about it was awesome.
His enthusiasm is
it's inspiring.
Yeah,
there's gonna be some wild podcasts. And then Trey Heiner is coming from Wyoming. He's never whitetail hunted. Well, I think he's been on a whitetail. His wife has actually killed one in Texas, but he's never Midwestern whitetail hunted with a bow.
That dude is so knowledgeable. I'm excited so to see how he deals with the whitetail woods.
I am too. I'm wondering if he's gonna like get down and walk around and just like
screw everything up.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to move. For them, I told them, you know, Trey kills giant mule deers all the time, like for clients and all that. He's constantly around 180, 200 inch and bigger mule deer every year. He is. So I'm curious to see if, like, you know, I told them, you know, hold your head at like 130 and just see, because I don't see Trey getting excited over a 138 pointer when he's...
But you never know, though.
But I mean, he might, though.
New experience.
That's it.
Hunting out of a tree stand or ground blind or wherever he's at.
And I talked about him, you know, talked about that with him, and he's like, yeah, he goes, but I'm just excited for the, like, the experience and the area and, like, all that. So... I told them 125, 130, great first whitetail with a bow.
Absolutely.
You know, definitely shoot that. So.
And a 130 whitetail, I think, looks bigger than a 130 mealy.
All day.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. All day.
So
we had this conversation when I was in elk camp about 200-inch mule deer versus 200-inch whitetails. And I said, man, no offense, guys. I know mule deer are your bread and butter, but a 200-inch whitetail is more impressive than a 200-inch mule deer every time.
100%.
And I would agree.
And I think Pope and Young gives them like a 20-point difference, right? I think it's 145 versus 125 or something.
I don't know for sure, so, I think. I haven't measured a ton of mules.
Yeah, and bow hunt. Well, I had to measure mine for Bow Hunting League, and they followed the same thing, I think. So it's a 20-point difference.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I got in Bow Hunting League, I got a 20-point deduction.
That's what mine last year was, yeah, something like that. But yeah, so yeah, we talked about that. I'm like, man, think about how many 200 inch deer you guys saw come out of this certain spot this year, or, you know, you heard about it over there, heard about it over here. I'm like, if an area in Illinois cranked out that many 200 inch whitetails in a spot, you wouldn't be able to hunt anywhere, and ground would be $50,000 an acre.
There'd be a traffic jam to get in there.
Yeah, so. I'm like, yeah, it's different, but still cool.
Yeah.
Still very cool. Yeah. Doesn't make it not cool, you know?
100%.
But I do think a 200-inch whitetail is more rare.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, guys, this is a fun kind of pop-up podcast. I'm glad we got to do one on the day you shot your buck.
Yeah, that's great. So, I'm still, like, I'm just over the moon about this.
Well, you can hang out at the studio, drink a couple cocktails, sleep in, drive home well-rested.
Take it nice and easy.
That's right. That's the best part. Your trip's early. You're home earlier. So
get to go back and hunt the red at home too. So
that's perfect, man. Way to get it done. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So
where can
much.
People find you?
Instagram. Don't remember my handle. So
okay.
Don't worry about it.
I'll put it in the description for you. Right. And then you guys have, you know, the time of recording, you guys will be headed back, or of launch, you guys will be headed back home, but you still have quite a few days of hunting.
Yeah, we still have five.
Today's Monday. So
five, 6 days left.
When do you go
Saturday if needed?
Of 70 degree weather.
I think you guys.
Deer Pass says poor.
The last 2 days of your guys' hunt will be good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When are you guys leaving?
Sunday. Well, we got to drive. We were going to drive home early Sunday morning, but like if the weather's real good, we might hunt Sunday.
Yeah, there's a 20 degree drop.
Really good. We have to work Monday.
Out there, you just want to. It's going to make really me stay good. An extra half day.
You're here. You might as well stay.
Deercast is saying it's fantastic for Monday. So.
I know.
It actually says fantastic on it.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Exuberant. I've never seen that on Deercast before. I'm gonna see if Mark can get like whoever he hires the developers to just like one random day, just like throw everybody through a loophole. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just like, I've never seen that.
What's going on here?
Yeah. Wow. It must be good. but you know,
yeah.
Chance of killing a deer, 100%.
When you look at Monday's prediction versus the 3 days prior to that, like leading up to it.
Next week?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't looked
it
that far.
It looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right when we leave.
Yeah, I know.
You can squeeze one more day of vacation
out,
can't you?
That's what I'm saying.
I think so.
Yeah, just that's you might I'm as well saying. Stay.
Time for a new job.
Yeah, anyway. Just time for a new job.
You know what I mean? You might as well stay.
Perfect.
Because Devin and Trey will be in.
Oh, perfect.
It's going to be fun. We're going to have a hunting camp.
I brought my work laptop so I can stay.
You should work, start the job tomorrow Monday, or, right? or Wednesday and then take Monday off.
Hey, yeah. Sugar Mama.
Yeah, perfect.
So the day we got here,
lose your job, so she pays for it.
My target bug from PA showed up on camera the day we got to Illinois.
Oh, that's right.
Of course.
Wasn't meant to be. Wasn't meant to be.
No.
Can't kill him in Illinois. Yeah, he'll be there. He'll be there waiting.
But that you're just not there putting any pressure on it, so he'll feel comfortable in there. Mm-hmm. And
exactly.
You guys will slide in there on Tuesday after you hunt Monday here.
Yeah.
And crank him.
And just knock him down.
Yeah.
Cool. Where can people find you guys?
Biddy Boosh. Yeah, he doesn't do social media, but I'm Biddy Boosh on Instagram.
You don't do the internet, so I don't blame you. You don't like meeting strange men on the internet, huh?
No.
Not even for hunting ground?
Just see them all the time in real life.
You can shoot a pretty nice buck if you do.
Hey. Awesome. Well, thanks for ruining my crock pot today at the studio.
Hey. Wow. Accident.
Maybe you should get on the internet and learn how to use a crock pot.
You know. First thing in the morning, excited to get to the stand.
That's all right.
Easily replaceable.
I'm going to send him a crock pot tutorial.
Yeah.
What'd you do? Let's talk about it. What happened? Why? How'd you ruin my crock pot before
I
we get out of here?
I forgot to put one important part in it.
Yeah, which part?
I guess the part that cooks it.
The bowl?
The bowl inside it, yeah. You know, you forget one thing and it doesn't let you forget that.
It's like the one.
Oh, man.
The only part you need, really, to make a crock pot function.
I was so proud of myself, too. I cleaned it all out real good, ready to go.
The only way that you could have made that worse is just never plugged it in.
Yeah. I would have gone for that. That would have been way better.
That actually would have been better.
Could have tried dinner again.
Well, to be fair, I was at the studio a little bit today, and I looked at the crock pot, and I saw it was like all wet around it, but I thought it was because the liner condensation was wet. So I'm like, oh, I'll fix this for him.
Yeah. I walked by it, too. Yeah. I just thought it smelled weird.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see what you guys had cooking. You know, it's your guys' business, not mine. All right, let's get out of here.
Sounds good.
Right, thanks, guys. Fun. Appreciate it. All right, you know what to do. Get out there, go hunting, shoot a giant, and you know what to do. Go shoot your bow and shoot a giant. I don't know. Later.